When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place.
And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?
And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native languages?
Persians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs."
All rather amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But another sneezed and said, "There are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say.
Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Even upon my slave, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist.
The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day.
Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Friends, it is such a gift to be able to open God's word with you today, and to do it from one of the places that has become very much like a second home to me over the past 10 years. You know, I've often heard it said that Glenmar sits atop one of the highest points in Howard County. And it's for that reason that we have come to think of ourselves as a city on a hill, a beacon of hope for our community. But I realize that there are some of you who are worshiping with us today from other parts of the country and even other countries around the world. And so, since you've never had the opportunity to be in this place that we have affectionately called Glenmar, I will tell you that on account of being on one of the highest points in Howard County, it also happens to be one of the windiest. Even on days when the weather app is showing wind at 0 miles per hour, there's always a slight breeze going. I can remember a day very much like today when I was getting ready for our Easter services. And I was out on the lawn with my friend in faith, and we were spray painting a tomb that we had built for Easter Sunday. When all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a gust of wind that lifts up this tomb, snaps it in half, and it made it almost to the back property, halfway to Bogger Farm, before we were able to catch it. Now, on days when there is wind in the forecast, you know, when the weather app shows those little, like, wavy lines? Forget about it. I have broken more umbrellas here in the parking lots than I have broken in the rest of my entire life. And there have been days when I've literally had to fight my way across the parking lot to get in the main entrance. Now, it's not that feeling that I'm thinking about today, but it's the sound that's on my mind. It's the sound of the wind whipping past my ears, whirling and whistling, so much that you really can't even notice anything else. And that's the sound that I imagine now whenever I read Acts chapter 2. The disciples are gathered together in one place, and suddenly their ears are overwhelmed by the sound that's like the rush of a violent wind. Tongues, like flames of fire, descend upon each one of them, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. The word that we translate as spirit in ancient Greek very literally meant wind or breath, air in motion. And so on Pentecost, God's presence enters the world in a new way. God's spirit is let loose in the world like the wind that can't be controlled or contained. But it also fills each one of the disciples. And with that, as the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, the church is born. The church is brought to life in very much the same way that Adam is brought to life at the beginning of creation, when God bends over Adam and breathes into him the breath or the spirit of life. A lot of people talk about Pentecost as the birthday of the church, and in many ways that's true. There'd be no church without the Holy Spirit. But I'm not so sure that we should celebrate Pentecost like a birthday, because on our birthdays, we traditionally celebrate us. No, the person who's having the birthday. We give thanks for their life. We celebrate that they've lived another year. And on particularly significant milestone birthdays, we congratulate them for making it this far. And of course, we wish them many, many more. But Pentecost is different. You know, we don't come together to worship to celebrate us or to congratulate ourselves for making it another year as if somehow that were up to us. What we celebrate is God's Spirit and God's faithfulness to the church. When we read Acts 2, we're reminded that the church is God's doing, not ours. It's God's idea, God's plan for bringing God's message of hope and grace to the world, not ours. And so perhaps one of the most faithful things we can do on Pentecost is to open ourselves anew to the Holy Spirit, reminding us who we are as the church. To invite the Holy Spirit to renew our hearts and minds with God's vision for who we were meant to be. First and foremost, we hear the Spirit reminding us that we are the church. And I think we need that reminder now more than ever as we are hearing nationwide calls to reopen churches. You and I both know that the church never closed. Buildings close. Churches don't close. And so as we read the book of Acts, we are reminded that the church is a community. It's the community of people who have come to believe that Jesus is God's Messiah, and who have turned from their ways in order to follow Jesus as Lord. God's church isn't closed. It's out in the world feeding people and making masks and supporting and encouraging those who are on the front lines and caring for those who grieve. There's no mention of a building in Acts chapter 2. And more beautiful than the most ornate buildings that we could ever build is God's vision of a church that is diverse in every way, fulfilling the promise that God first made to Abraham, that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was one of Jesus' disciples. And so he would have been one of the ones present on Pentecost who was given the ability to speak in other languages that day. And so he gives us this magnificent roll call of nations and ethnicities. People who were able to hear God's message of grace in Jesus Christ in their very own language. See, Pentecost was one of three main pilgrimage festivals in the Jewish faith. And so Jewish people from all over the ancient world would have descended upon Jerusalem to worship and to celebrate God's faithfulness. And so here, we see once again God's faithfulness poured out through the Holy Spirit. And even after we get this glimpse of the church's international flavor, we see Peter stand up and he quotes from the prophet Joel that in the last days, God's Spirit would be poured out on all people, men and women, young and old, people from every socioeconomic status. And they'd be given the ability to dream God's dreams, to see the world through God's eyes, and to speak prophetic truth. I mean, how beautiful was it to see our scripture reading this morning and to see just some of the diversity in the body of Christ called Glenmar, and then to know that that is just such a tiny glimpse into God's dream for the church. God's Spirit is not the property of a chosen few. It is God's gift to the entire world. And that leads us to the other most fundamental characteristic of who we are as the church. And that is that central to our mission is sharing the message of grace and of love that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives the disciples the ability to proclaim the powers and the wonders of God, depending on which translation of the Bible you read. But it's the power of God's love in Jesus Christ to conquer sin and death, to set us free from the chains that hold us. And it's the wonders of God's grace to forgive us, to restore us. And at times, like the first disciples, the Spirit might also lead us to be interpreters. And I don't necessarily mean speakers of other languages. But we live in a culture that doesn't have too many examples of grace or forgiveness or unconditional love or the kind of justice that heals and restores. And so those concepts can sometimes be completely unintelligible to people who've never experienced them. And so even as we proclaim what God has done for the world in Jesus Christ, we're also called to interpret it. And sometimes that means showing people what grace looks like, or helping them to experience love or forgiveness in a way that they have never experienced it before, but in a way that they can understand and in a way that changes their lives forever. Now, maybe the thought of this God-given mission scares the heck out of you, but the next time you hear the Spirit prompting you to share your faith or to start a ministry or to get involved with something that's out of your comfort zone, I want to invite you to think about this story in Acts chapter 2 and to remember what happens on Pentecost. Remember the disciples who suddenly were gifted by the Spirit with this ability to speak God's wonders and God's power, and the crowd around them was amazed and astonished. And they were amazed and astonished, and they said, "Aren't these Galileans?" And that's because Galileans were known for their lack of linguistic talent. Look at God. Look what we are able to do with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then look what the Spirit does just moments later when Peter, the same person who had denied that he ever knew Jesus just a few weeks before, he stands up and he becomes the church's very first preacher. What a reminder that this work we do in the church is ultimately the Holy Spirit's work, not ours. And so on Pentecost, we don't celebrate us. You know, we don't celebrate the church necessarily, but we celebrate God's faithfulness to the church. We celebrate that the church has endured because of the Holy Spirit, often working through us, but sometimes working in spite of us. You know, I like to think of the church's persistence a lot like the dandelions in my yard. Now, if you ask my kids, they will tell you that dandelions are the most beautiful flowers that they have ever seen. I mean, literally, that is a direct quote from my daughter. And the wind takes those fluffy dandelion seeds and spreads them all over. And my children, they are the perfect cooperators in the wind's mission. They pick up those little fluffy flowers and they take the breath that has been placed within them and they blow them all over my yard so that one dandelion very quickly becomes six, which soon becomes 20, and so on and so on. And so no matter what I do to get rid of them, I mean, I very literally sneak out under the cover of darkness and pick them when my children can't see, and I put them in our compost bin. No matter what I do, I can't stop the wind. Those dandelions are going to be in my yard from now until eternity. We can't stop the Holy Spirit. The church has endured plagues and persecutions, censorship and wars, even times of spectacular moral failure on our part, from the Crusades to slavery, to our slowness to get behind the civil rights movement and to embrace God's vision for the church. And because of the Holy Spirit, because we can't stop the Spirit's work, we can trust that the church will endure. Even as we worship online, even in times of social distancing and mask wearing, even without congregational singing, and even as we share communion in tiny little cups that look a lot like coffee creamers. Because of the Holy Spirit, the church will endure, even in times of pastoral transition and change. You know, after I met Pastor Milena for the first time, I hung up the phone and I said a prayer of thanksgiving to God because I knew in that moment that God had sent just the right person to the church. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has already given you two other faithful pastors who love you and love God, and a staff that is thrilled to partner with you in doing God's work in the world. I have seen you all do incredible things for God's kingdom because you have been obedient to the Holy Spirit, living in you, working through you. The church will endure because the Holy Spirit is ultimately in charge of the church, not us. And the Holy Spirit is still on the loose. You know, I could have filmed this message in the chapel, which would have been a lot easier from a tech perspective and a lot less hot and probably a lot fewer bugs. But I wanted to do it here because the church is not the building. And our buildings are definitely not the only place where the Holy Spirit is on the move. The pinwheels that you see behind me, they're in honor of you, Glenmar. They're in honor of you and of our confirmation class because of all the ways that I have seen the Spirit of God working in you and through you these past 10 years. Whenever you feel the wind, wherever you are, I hope you'll remember that the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is still blowing through the world. And I hope you'll see that it's moving people to faith for the very first time and reigniting the faith of longtime believers even as we sit in our living rooms. the Holy Spirit is still on the loose, and it's still on the loose anointing us to prophesy about God's vision of a world where people with brown and black skin don't have to be afraid for their lives when they go on a run or a walk in the park. Where their lives are valued and counted of sacred worth because they have been created in the beautiful image of God. The Holy Spirit is still on the loose, comforting those who grieve, breaking down barriers, and breathing new life into desolate places. And the Holy Spirit is still on the loose, working in our hearts and minds to make us holy, so that our living and our loving might become more like that of our Savior. And that same Holy Spirit, the very presence and power of God, lives in each one of you. It lives in us. And I know that sometimes it's hard to remember because the Holy Spirit probably doesn't get as much attention in our preaching and our teaching as it should. You know, we talk a lot about the presence of God or how Jesus is present wherever two or three of us are gathered in His name. We remember Jesus' promise to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Now, not too long ago, I was having lunch with my daughter, Amelie, and she was really quiet, which is weird because she's pretty much the furthest from quiet that you can get as a kid. But all of a sudden she looks up and she says, "Mom, if Jesus is in my heart, how did he get in there?" And she held up her fingers like this and she brought them to her heart, and I could see her mind working really hard, trying to figure out how Jesus shrunk down to be small enough to get inside her heart. Well, that was my opportunity to tell her all about the Holy Spirit. And I told her that anytime we feel close to God, anytime we sense Jesus' love or remember His words or want to follow Him, that's the Holy Spirit working in us. And I told her that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us the moment we place our trust in Jesus and never ever leaves. You know, Jesus promised us that when He was about to die and be raised, He told His disciples, He said, "I'll ask the Father and He will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever." Friends, God has not left us alone. Not now, not ever. God's Spirit is on the loose in the world and lives in us so that we have never been alone, not on our day of deepest grief, not in the midst of this pandemic, not on the days of our most richest success, and also not on the days of our most spectacular failures. The Holy Spirit, God's presence let loose in the world, is with us. It's the Spirit who is ultimately in charge of the church, not us. And thanks be to God for that. Glenmar, I love you. I pray for you. I give thanks to God for the people you are and for your love and your faithfulness. And I will hold you in my heart because of the ways that you have made me a better pastor and a more faithful follower of Jesus. And I know that the Spirit of God is alive in you. And the Spirit of God will continue to do incredible things, life-changing, world-changing things through you. Amen.